Hey folks, Preet here. Another busy week of politically charged legal news making the headlines. A Manhattan judge overseeing former President Donald Trump's hush money prosecution extended a gag order to prevent Trump from speaking publicly about the judges and DA's families. The gag order previously barred Trump from criticizing witnesses, court staff, and jurors. Meanwhile, reporting suggests that Fulton County DA Fani Willis plans to take a lead role in trying the Trump election subversion prosecution in Georgia. In other news, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case that threatens to scale back access to the abortion drug mifepristone. And former special counsel Robert Hur recently testified at a congressional hearing about his report on President Biden's handling of classified documents. Joyce Vance and I discuss all that and more on the Cafe Insider podcast. To hear our full conversation and access all other Cafe Insider content, try the membership for just $1 for 1 month. You can do that at cafe.com/insider. That's cafe.com/insider. We look forward to having you as a part of the Insider community. There's another thing that keeps happening in these Trump cases, both civil and criminal. And that is the extent to which Trump shoots his mouth and posts on social media in ways that could be perceived as trying to harass or intimidate people who are involved in the cases or potential witnesses in cases, and perhaps even in the future, jurors who are set to consider and deliberate on the cases. You want to talk about the latest gag order?
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating, right? Judge Merchan in the Manhattan DA's case at the start of the case, he declined to impose a gag order. He instead admonished Trump to be careful. And then he imposed an initial gag order, which was billed as being a very limited gag order. It was focused mostly on witnesses and jurors, although to some extent it applied to staff as well. And then the Manhattan DA came in with a letter. Remember, this is the case where you can't just file a motion right now. You actually have to file a letter with the court asking for permission to file a motion. And they essentially said, look, this most recent behavior by Trump is outrageous. And in the course of making, you know, I won't say making threats, but in the course of targeting the judge's daughter and others, he's sending a message to potential witnesses and potential jurors that they too should be fearful. And so they asked the judge to enhance the gag order, and he did. And he did it in no uncertain terms.
Yeah, you know, can we just take a step back for a moment and discuss, separate and apart from whether or not there's a gag order in place and what the scope of the gag order is. We've had this go back and forth in some of the other cases as well. From a purely tactical and strategic standpoint, other than, and maybe this is the answer, other than inflaming and pleasing his base, who wants to see a certain kind of pugilistic fighter in the courtroom and outside the courtroom, what do you stand to gain as a defendant in a civil or criminal case by fighting for your right to attack and slam the other side, the judge, judge's staff, judge's relatives, just as a pure legal strategic matter? Doesn't that only risk alienating yourself from people who are responsible for how the outcome is going to be in your case?
So that seems just so obvious that I have started to entertain some speculation. Now, this is not beyond speculation. This is simply speculation. And, you know, I'm not committed to this yet, but I'm interested in what you think about it. Trump was pretty deliberate here. He looked at the gag order and picked out one exception he could get away with. Oh, it's okay for me to go after family members of the judge because they're not included in this limited gag order. And I think the message that Trump sends when he goes after the judge's daughter is a message to witnesses and a message to jurors. And it says, I can attack you too. Look at this. If I can get away with doing this to the judge's daughter, who, you know, has some access to protection here and to recourse, you know, random juror, I will be able to go after you too. And I think Trump is deliberately now trying to do what mobsters do in cases, right? It's a mafia sort of a tactic, intimidate witnesses and jurors. Do you think that's too far?
No, not necessarily. I guess if you divide the stakeholders and the constituencies into different groups, I guess I maybe understand, even though I think it's gross and disgusting and anti-rule of law, doing those kinds of things with witnesses or with jurors. But what I really don't understand is antagonizing the judge. You know, this week in my class at NYU Law School, we talked about the role of the judge. We had a friend of mine, former colleague, federal district court judge, to talk about the role of the judge and also as a human and practical matter. And let me know if you agree with this, whether intentional or not, the presiding judge at a trial, in federal or state court, has a tremendous ability and power to shape the way the trial unfolds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both in decisions about what evidence gets submitted, doesn't get admitted, objections that are overruled or sustained, general demeanor, attitude towards witnesses, attitudes towards the lawyers, or attitudes towards the parties. And, you know, I think the judge in the Manhattan DA's case is going to try to, you know, call balls and strikes and be fair and neutral. But why on earth would you risk making that judge hate you and be angry at you and think that you're a thug and a fraudster and a huckster? Because that judge has all sorts of power and ability to shape the trial. Why wouldn't you instead try to be charming?
Part of it is button pushing, right? If they can get the judge to do something, maybe it becomes a ground for reversal on appeal if the judge weighs in against Trump. But I think more likely what's happening here is they recognize this is a good judge, a judge who's had a very restrained, measured response. And I think in some ways, this is an endorsement of their confidence that the judge will be fair while Trump tries out these sort of grotesque, you know, mafia style tactics to intimidate the potential jury pool here.
Yeah. And look, maybe we're overthinking it. And that's just Trump's way. As I said earlier, the total and full explanation for this is his MO. This is what he does with his adversaries in the campaign. This is what he does with his adversaries in the Senate. This is what he does with his adversaries in business. This is what he does with his adversaries in the press. And that's just how he operates. It's his MO. And he's not differentiating or distinguishing this particular special target constituency, which is the judges in the cases who are going to preside over essentially his fate and loss of liberty, potentially. Like, he's just not distinguishing between all the other rivals and enemies he thinks he has and this special class of person, the judges. Fair?
Yeah, I think that is fair.
As always, Joyce, we've had this conversation now at least a half a dozen times about the gag orders, and they get put in place, and we can debate what the scope and parameters are. I think now they're pretty clear, but then the question always arises, what's the enforcement mechanism? What happens if he violates? What's the answer?
It's interesting because I think everybody caveats this whole conversation by saying, of course, no judge wants to put Donald Trump in jail. And I think that that is absolutely right. I think no one wants the spectacle, legal and political, of seeing the former president incarcerated while he's running for the presidency. But if we do see one of the judges do it pretrial, I think it's going to be in this case. I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb here. I don't think Judge Mershon is chomping at the bit for this, by the way. But he points out a couple of things in this most recent order, expanding the gag order to include family members of the DA's staff and the court family. And he says, self-restraint has not worked here. And then he goes on to talk about the harms that Trump imposes when he continues to talk. And he admonishes him very specifically about the New York laws that govern violation of the gag orders. And there are two remedies. They can be used, you know, one at a time, or they can both be applied together. One is a fine, and it's in a very de minimis amount. We're talking thousands of dollars. And the other is custody for 30 days or less. And, you know, I think as a prosecutor in this setting, if Trump violates the gag order, clearly, again, I would make the argument, Judge, this is a guy who a $2,000 fine is going to mean absolutely nothing to. And the only option here is to put him in jail for 24 hours to show him that you mean business. And I think the choice Judge Mershon will have at that point is to concede that Trump is above the law and can do whatever he wants going into trial, or to actually back himself up. Now, he has been very measured. He might, you know, give him a warning and a fine and say, if you do it again, I'll put you in jail first. But I think if Trump cannot control his behavior, the judge is going to reach the point where he'll have to make that decision.
Yeah, I think that's largely right. I think that I agree, before he takes the very substantial step of sending Donald Trump to a jail cell for 24 hours or 48 hours, whatever the period might be, He will escalate the fines, so they're much more significant, and give a clear warning.
But, I mean, he really can't under the statute. We're talking just thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. But okay, so the part that I definitely think is true is that before he makes a decision to send him to a prison cell, I think he'll give a fairly concrete, specific, and credible warning, don't you think, as you said a minute ago?
I think he will. And the gag order is worded very carefully because it's not just that Trump makes one of these comments. It has to be made with the intent to interfere.
Yeah. Do you think he put that in there to give himself, probably not, but to give himself wiggle room?
Well, I think what he did was he wanted to make sure that if he has to put Trump in custody for a period of time, that the order is airtight.
Yeah, that it's not arbitrary. You know, the other thing that's important to talk about here is, again, putting aside the particular case in the particular jurisdiction with this particular high-profile and famous defendant, Donald Trump, there is a feeling now, and I don't know if you have a sense of it from talking to your judge friends and people in your community, but there's a realization that being a judge can be a dangerous job. I mean, it always has been to some extent. There's always, you know, the possibility of violence when you hold people's lives and livelihoods in your hand. And there have been occasions of horrible violence, which you know about in Alabama. Thanks for listening. To hear the full episode, head to cafe.com/insider and try out the membership for just $1 for 1 month. That's cafe.com/insider. To the many of you who have chosen to join the Insider community, thank you for supporting our work.